Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, June 7th, 2010. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, Thompson police brutality trial in Spokane delayed 2 months because of appeal. Washington marijuana legalization initiative not on track to get enough signatures to get on the ballot. Unemployment decreases in Latah County and in the region, and University of Idaho and City of Moscow reach tentative campus security agreement. Also, two agenda items at tonight's Moscow City Council meeting on alcohol in sidewalk cafes in Moscow. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. District 6 Democratic legislator Shirley Ringo has filed a lawsuit against the state in district court in Boise today, alleging that secret deals made by the State Tax Commission give wealthy people with political connections millions of dollars in tax breaks. Ringo names the Idaho legislature, the State Tax Commission, and all four state tax commissioners in the lawsuit. Her attorney is former Idaho Supreme Court Justice Robert Huntley, who ran for governor as a Democrat in the 1990s. Ringo told the Spokesman Review, "If those things have been going on, it just speaks to the need for reforms. I would put in on the emergency status because I don't want to accuse anybody of being corrupt, but I think it bears looking into." The lawsuit brings up similar issues brought up by state tax auditor Stan Howland in 2008. That year, Howland alleged the tax commission illegally settled tax appeals by big corporations, costing the state millions of dollars. At the time, two state investigations concluded no laws were broken, but recommended that reforms be made in tax commission procedures. Federal prosecutors in the trial of a Spokane police officer accused of violating the civil rights of a disabled janitor in 2006 have appealed a ruling by U.S. District Court Judge Fred Van Sickle that prohibits them from presenting evidence that janitor Otto Zem had committed no crime before being beaten and tasered by Officer Carl F. Thompson, Jr. The appeal will delay Thompson's trial, which was scheduled to start today, for 2 months. Thompson and other police hog-tied Zem on his stomach on the floor of a convenience store for 17 minutes and placed a medical mask over his face that limited air to a dime-sized hole. Zem stopped breathing and lost consciousness and died 2 days later. The appeal will go to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Thompson also faces charges of lying to federal investigators. Washington's Initiative 1068, which would legalize recreational marijuana, has only obtained 100,000 signatures out of the 241,000 signatures needed to get it on the ballot. The deadline for collecting the valid signatures of registered voters is Friday, July 2nd. Campaign Director Douglas Hyatt says so far, Initiative 1068 supporters have not been able to afford paid signature gatherers. The campaign had been banking on help from the Service Employees International Union, but the union said today they won't be supporting the initiative effort. If Initiative 1068 gets on the November ballot in Washington, it will be the second state voting on legalizing marijuana this year. California voters will be deciding the legalization question this November. Boundary County voters will decide tomorrow whether or not to close the Naples Elementary School, which serves 123 students. Normally, the school district can decide whether or not to close a school. But when the Naples School joined the district in 1947, it was with a binding stipulation that the school could only be closed by a countywide vote of the electorate. Closing the school would save the district $250,000 a year, mostly in transportation and maintenance costs. The Boundary County School District has had its state funding cut by 7.5%, and the district still has a $538,000 deficit despite some budget cuts. The district only operates 4 days per week due to a previous budget cut. The U.S. Forest Service put into effect new guidelines on filming in federally protected wilderness areas last week. The temporary guidelines, in effect until December 3, 2011, will require forest supervisors to consider whether filming projects would spread information about enjoyment of wilderness areas before allowing crews to film. The decision came after a flap last month in which Idaho Governor C.L. Butch Otter intervened after Idaho Public Television, a non-commercial TV network owned by the state, was denied permission to film in the Frank Church River of No Return Wilderness on the grounds the network would use the footage for commercial purposes. Salmon Chalice National Forest Supervisor Frank Guzman relented after Idaho Public Television agreed not to sell videos of the television show to generate revenue for the station. During the flap, IPTV pointed out that Oregon Public Television had long been allowed access to wilderness areas in that state for filming. Employment numbers in Idaho have improved, but Department of Labor economist Catherine Tack remains disappointed in the state's job growth. The jobless rate dropped to its lowest level since January, with landing at 7.5%. About half of the job growth, however, is added by census workers. Other jobs were added in manufacturing, healthcare, and retail. Before the recession, the unemployment rate was 4%. Tack said that Idaho would have to see 1,740 new jobs for unemployment to drop to that level again. The official unemployment rate in the five north central Idaho counties went down from 8.5% in April to 7.5% in May. Official unemployment also made a big drop in Latah County, where it stood at 7.4% in April. It is now 6.7%. Nez Perce County had a smaller drop, going from 7.2% in April to 6.8% in May. The end of a temporary layoff in Clearwater County was instrumental in that county's unemployment rate declining from 16.8% to 11.9% in the one-month period. The sentencing of Silas Parks, who pleaded guilty to two counts of voluntary manslaughter and one count of first-degree arson in the death of his wife and unborn daughter, will be delayed so the prosecution can prepare a response to the defense's independent psychological evaluation of Parks. The sentencing will now take place on Wednesday, June 30th. Latah County Prosecutor Bill Thompson said he needs some of the extra time to locate an independent expert to review the psychologist's report. Thompson, defense attorneys D. Ray Barker and Charles Kovas, and Second District Judge Jeff Brody set the sentencing date during a conference call today. Parks killed his pregnant wife and then set the fire to conceal the crime. According to a police affidavit, Parks originally told investigators that it had all happened while he was working out at Anytime Fitness in Moscow. Parks was originally charged with first-degree murder. Sarah Parks' family agreed to the plea deal on the condition that Parks explain at sentencing the details of what led to their daughter's death and that they have an opportunity to confront him at the sentencing hearing. Last night, friends and former colleagues of Sarah Parks, who was a teacher at the Moscow Charter School, gathered in Friendship Square in anticipation of Silas Parks' sentencing, which had been scheduled for tomorrow. The group spent time talking about Sarah and commemorating her life. Silas Parks, who is 26 years old, faces 40 years in jail if convicted of all counts. After Thursday, if you have a cell phone at your ear and your foot is on the gas in Washington State, it can cost $124. The Washington State Patrol is warning drivers that there will be no grace period for the new law barring texting and handheld phones while driving that takes effect Thursday this week. Teen drivers will be banned from using phones at all while they drive in Washington State. Rain has brought flood warnings to the Snake and Grand Ronde River areas of Assotin County. The warnings were issued yesterday and are likely to be lifted later today. Snake River Road in Assotin County, 10 miles south of Assotin, was closed. Workers hope to have it opened later today. Big box stores and two proposals liberalizing alcohol rules for sidewalk cafes are on tonight's Moscow City Council agenda. The City Council will hold a public hearing on proposed amendments to the city's large retail establishment ordinance, also known as the big box store ordinance. The changes moved forward last month by the City Planning and Zoning Commission include scrapping a 10,000 square foot expansion limit for Category 2 large retail establishments, which are stores more than 65,000 square feet, and increasing the amount a large retail establishment can expand from 10% to 30% of its previous size. For the purposes of the ordinance, a large retail establishment is defined as a store larger than 40,000 square feet. The proposed changes also include an amendment giving the City Council the power to levy fines on the owners of large retail establishments if they fail to market or maintain abandoned big box stores. One of the two alcohol-related agenda items is a proposal to allow restaurants to serve hard alcohol at their sidewalk cafes in the Central Business District. Currently, beer and wine is allowed at sidewalk cafes. Some downtown businesses have complained about having to reseat customers if a member of a party on the sidewalk orders a mixed drink. Under the proposal, only businesses classified as full-service restaurants under state law could serve liquor by the drink at sidewalk cafes, but patrons would not be required to order food with their liquor. In Idaho, a full-service restaurant is defined as a restaurant that makes at least 40% of its income from the sale of food for on-premises consumption. The other agenda item regarding alcohol is a proposal to legalize the serving of alcohol in sidewalk cafes located on Friendship Square. Since Friendship Square is classified as a city park, businesses located there that wish to serve alcohol in sidewalk cafes must receive a special permit from the City Council on a case-by-case basis. In another agenda item, the Moscow City Council will be asked tonight to approve an expenditure of $7,700 to develop a new city-owned community garden on the east side of the Hamilton Indoor Recreation Center property. Under the Parks and Recreation Department's plans for the garden, the annual operating costs of $840 per year will be covered by garden plot rental fees, which would total $1,320 per year at full capacity. The plan calls for 44 garden plots measuring 20 feet by 30 feet, renting at $30 each per year. The plan calls for 44 garden plots measuring 20 by 20 feet, renting at $30 each per year. Also tonight, the City Council will hear a Citizen Commission report on the Planning and Zoning Commission from Community Development Director Bill Belknap. Consent agenda items include spending $5,800 out of $10,000 needed for fixed route bus service to the Saturday Farmers Market this summer, accepting $96,000 in federal stimulus money for energy efficiency and conservation, and approval of a $1.2 million federal grant application for an intermodal transit center. In the case of the Farmers Market bus, the city has already received a $4,200 grant from the USDA's Farmers Market Promotion Program to run the buses this year. Tonight's City Council meeting begins at 7 p.m. at City Hall. The City of Moscow and the University of Idaho have reached a tentative agreement on a security contract for the university, though the university is refusing to release any details until the agreement is finalized. Seven proposals were considered, six of them from private security agencies and one from the City of Moscow's Police Department, which has held the contract since 1996. UI spokesperson Tanya Thompson told the Daily News, "Suffice to say, we've had a good long-term agreement with the Moscow PD. Ada and Canyon counties will be the first in Idaho to participate in the Secure Communities Program, which uses information sharing technologies to match data from criminal suspects with FBI and Homeland Security immigration data. Ada County Sheriff Gary Rainey called Secure Communities a, quote, valuable tool that will help us identify criminal aliens in our jail, return them to their country of origin, and prevent them from committing further crimes in our community. Anyone arrested and booked on a criminal charge will be screened through the program at the time of arrest. Two Idaho landowners who consider themselves the test case for building docks on certain Coeur d'Alene lakefront properties have won the right to build docks after a ruling by the Idaho Supreme Court. The Department of Transportation had held an easement along the lakeshore granted by former owners in 1940. When Chris Keenan and Lake Coeur d'Alene Investments LLC applied to the Idaho Land Board for permits to build docks, the Idaho Department of Transportation blocked the permits on the ground that their easement went all the way down to the water, and the landowners sued in district court and won the right to build the docks. The Idaho Land Board appealed to the state Supreme Court, which upheld the lower court's decision. The decision applies only to land where road easements were granted before 1953, when legislation was rewritten to make such easements extend all the way to the water. The Idaho Public Utilities Commission is taking comments on an Avista proposal to make it harder for people to reduce their future power bills when they generate excess power and give it to the utility through the net metering program. Avista wants to change the program and raise the eligibility limit from 25 kilowatts to 100 kilowatts of power generated through solar, wind, biomass, and hydropower. The comment period ends Thursday, June 17th. The Idaho Board of Examiners will meet tomorrow to consider a request by the Tax Commission to borrow $11 million from the state's general fund to write tax return checks. This is in addition to $45 million of general fund money that has been used for tax returns since March. Monthly tax collections are lagging behind forecasts and are failing to restock Idaho's refund account fast enough to make the payments in a timely manner. If tax revenues don't start to climb, the state may have to tap reserves or other savings to comply with the law requiring the budget be balanced by June 30th. The Nez Perce tribe broke ground on their new radio tower for their new full-power FM radio station Thursday. The tower is located between Kamiai and Orofino. The station will broadcast from the 100-foot tower and should be on the air by Labor Day. KIYE will broadcast throughout north-central Idaho and reach a large portion of the Nez Perce reservation. It will be a non-commercial station broadcasting at 88.7 on the FM dial. The Lewiston Tribune reported that KIYE's signal will be 3,000 watts, but the Federal Communications Commission's database lists the construction permit for the tribal station at 12,000 watts. Nez Perce Tribal Executive Committee Chair McCoy Oatman was joined with Julia Davis Wheeler and Alan Slickpoo Jr. at Thursday's groundbreaking ceremony. Oatman said, "The bottom line is, we'll be able to communicate with our tribal members who don't have access to the internet." Oatman also said, "The FM station will help educate non-Indians about Nez Perce culture." He said, "The biggest help to us will be with teaching the language and will help help us reach a broader audience." The tribe applied for the station's FCC license in 2007 and was awarded a construction permit last year. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast, mostly clear tonight, low 43, mostly sunny. Tomorrow, high 71. Tonight's winds 10 to 15 from the west, decreasing overnight. 50% chance of rain Tuesday night after midnight, mostly cloudy otherwise, low 52. 70% chance of rain Wednesday and Wednesday night, with thunderstorms also possible afternoon on Wednesday and before midnight Wednesday night. Otherwise cloudy, high 62 and a low around 45. 40% chance of showers on Thursday with thunderstorms also possible afternoon. Currently, fair skies, 63 degrees at the Pullman Moscow Regional Airport. We have 65 degrees in downtown Moscow. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next, news and opinions from the West Side with Eat the Airwaves, followed at 6:30 by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. And at 7:30 p.m., Tristan's on with Rebel Boot Camp music here on KRFP Moscow. I'm Lee Robartis. Remember, every edition of the KRFP Evening Report is available online at the Radio Free Moscow website. This is KRFP Moscow.